God says yes, amen. There's nothing else that anyone else can say or do to stop that yes. Amen. You know, we sometimes forget that we are God's children. Like literally children as in children. We forget that He's Father God, that He's Abba Father, as in Daddy God. We had a birthday party. It was supposed to just be a little bit of a bribe for Matthew yesterday. Matthew's my three-year-old who turned four this week. So we had a little party at our place. Yeah, a little bribe. I don't even know what to call it. We ate food and we sang songs. Amen. But before that, the week before that, Matthew came to me and he said, Dad, I said, yes, my boy, what's up? He said, Dad, I want something for my birthday. I said, okay, what do you want, boy? And he described exactly what he wanted. I think it's in the car. I think he brought it with him. He might have left it at home. But he told me exactly what he wants. He says, Dad, I want a Batman. But it's a specific Batman. It's a Batman that's got the wings. So it must have the wings. And I said, okay. He said, Dad, can I get that for the present? I said, yes, boy. It's fine. Daddy will get you the Batman with the wings. Okay? That's a supplication, right? He's come to me. He's made his request known. He's come to Dad. He said, Dad, I'm your child. Therefore, I'm entitled to tell you what I would like to have. And I'm letting you know right now, this is the kind of Batman toy I'd like to have. And it's got to be a Batman with wings. So not only was he bringing his request to his father, he was also quite specific about it, right? So he wasn't on some, Dad, any Batman will do. No. For his four-year-old self, he was quite specific. Dad, this is the kind of Batman I'm looking for. And this is why I just like to remind us, you know, we often forget that we are children of the Most High God. We often forget that He's our dad. He's our dad. And you can go up to Him and you can say, Dad, you know what? I didn't enjoy the season that I've been through. I'd like a few things to change. Number one, I'd like a promotion at work. By the way, I know there's a few vacancies open. I don't want that one there. The one that I actually want is that specific one over there. You see, Gertrude, who used to work in that position, she's now gone to Department of Environmental Affairs. That's the position I want, Lord Jesus. So when the post actually is advertised and when it actually becomes vacant, Lord, that's the one I want you to put me in. That's what I want, Dad. I'm looking for that. Okay, child. Okay, my daughter. Okay, my son. All good. When the post becomes vacant, it's yours. They'll put you in the position, they won't even know why. They like you and they won't even know why. They'll keep going past your CV and wanting to put it in the pile that doesn't qualify, but something within them will just make them want to hold on to your CV just a little bit longer, and the promotion will be yours. You know why? You ask during a time of rain. Hallelujah, I'm your dad, and you are my child, and if you ask me and you tell me that's what you want, and you're specific about it, and you believe, hallelujah, and if you've got the right motives, then it's yours, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. These are exciting times. Hallelujah. So now I have to figure out where do I start, right? Where do we go from here? Amen. Let's maybe jump straight into His Word. I think that's only appropriate. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to verse 7. By the way, the title of the message is When God Says Yes. Okay, so we're living in a season of God saying yes right now, in case you missed the past 30 minutes. Amen? So you're going to be encouraged this morning to make your requests known to God, but there's a way that happens, and I'm going to take you through that. So there's something that needs to happen before He gives His yes. There's stuff that's going to be going on while He's saying yes to you, and you're going to see the results afterwards of the yes. Amen? By the way, the enemy, our adversary, Satan, Lucifer, whatever name he wants to go by, the father of lies, he's also busy. So when he sees and when he knows that God is operating in your life and in this local assembly during a season of where it's so easy for you to ask and for God to grant your requests, by the way, he's also not sleeping. Okay? Lucifer's not asleep. Hallelujah. So he's also got his tactics. He's also doing things. He's also trying to whisper things in your ear, lies that he wants you to believe during the season so that you can miss out. Right? What did he say? What did he say to Adam and Eve? Did God really say that you couldn't eat? Huh? Are you sure? Is that really what he said? Is that really? Why do you think God said that? Do you think that God doesn't want you to be just like him? Right? So he's going to come with these lies. He's going to come with these tactics. Even during the season of prosperity and abundance, be aware that there is someone out there like a roaring lion, making noise, snarling, barking, biting, scratching, because he knows that you're in the season that you're in. Amen. So we're also not ignorant concerning the enemy. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to verse 7. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, that's every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. If I could use the word instruction, that's my instruction to you this morning. Don't be anxious. Man, as a country, we come out of a season for the past two plus years where we've all, whether you like it or not, we've all been living in this perpetual state of anxiety. That's what COVID has done to us as a country, to the world at large, where we've lived and operated in anxiety, anxious about, will I catch it? Am I going to be next? Which one of my family members is going to be affected and infected next? So we've just come out of a terribly long season, 2.5 years, horrible, difficult, challenging years, a time of anxiety and anxiousness. And so we have to look to God's word. We've got no other alternative. There's no Sai Baba out there. There's no guru. There's no fundi out there. I can only turn to Jesus Christ. I can only turn to his word. Amen. And according to his word, even though we've just come out of this COVID-19 season, this COVID-19 pandemic, his words to me are encouraging. He says, Stuart, don't be anxious. Don't be worried about anything. And by the way, that anything includes and covers absolutely everything. Hallelujah. But in every single circumstance and situation, remember what we spoke about? I was saying, we're not controlled by our circumstance. Rather, it's us. Because Jesus lives inside of us, we are able to influence the situation around us. Amen? So regardless of the circumstance, in every single circumstance and situation, how? By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to ask and don't stop asking. Pray and don't stop praying. Seek and don't stop seeking. Knock and don't stop knocking. Continue to make your specific requests known to God. And then what happens? And then the peace of God, the peace which reassures the heart. Man, that's comforting to me. Amen. The peace that reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding. People will look at you as if you are completely nuts. How can you be so relaxed? The entire department has just been told that because of the effects and impacts of COVID-19 on our company, we're probably going to have to downsize and they can't guarantee anyone's job. Why do you have a smile on your face? It doesn't make sense. It transcends all human understanding. Why do you have a spring in your step? Why are you so confident and comfortable? What do you know that we don't know? Well, I've got the peace that transcends all understanding. Hallelujah, Jesus. That peace which stands guard like a soldier over your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, that peace is yours. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, and sometimes for whatever reason, we tend to think of God as, you know, this punisher, you know. He's out to get us. He's out to punish us when we do things wrong, when we mess up, when we stumble, when we fall. And often we see that, you know, it's either going to be a no or it's going to be a later, right? And oftentimes, and I've had this experience with Jude as well, oftentimes Jude will come to me and he'll say, Dad, we use the karate example. Dad, I'd like to go to karate, please. Can I please go to karate? Now, I know that he's in grade one, right? So I know he's got homework absolutely every single day except for the Friday. So because I know he needs to focus on his schooling and these are his foundation years, the answer is, boy, no. not now. Right? And I'm doing that because I've got more knowledge. I've got a bigger perspective than him. Right? He's a 6-year-old turning 7 in 2 weeks' time. Right? So his perspective, his life experience is just a little bit different to mine. Right? So that's why in that situation, I say, no, boy. Karate, not now. Okay, let's focus on schoolwork. And then you know what his answer sometimes is? Ah, but Dad, you always say no. Ah, Dad, ah, man, you just always say no. Guys, look at me. Look at this face. Do you think I'm the kind of dad who always says no? Come on, I just told you guys the Batman story. I'm not, but in that moment, in his perceived reality at that point in time, because he wants karate classes so much, because he's watching and following and subscribing to Ninja Kids, and he wants to be able to be like a ninja kid, in that moment, oh, Dad, you always say no. And sometimes when God says no to us, we sometimes have that reaction. Oh, Abba Father, you always say no. But it's not reality. Amen. So I'm here just to remind you this morning that he's a God who says yes. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. So first things first, for God the Father to be able to answer your prayer in the affirmative, okay, with a yes, he needs to first of all have the ability to hear your prayer. Amen. So if he can't hear you while you're praying, then he also can't answer you. And if he can't hear you and he can't answer you, you can't get a yes. I mean, that's pretty straightforward, right? So the question is, can God hear me when I pray? Am I wasting my time? Am I just bumping my gums? Am I just killing an hour in the prayer meeting? Or can God actually hear me when I pray? Point number one, he is the God who hears. Surprise, surprise, amen. He is the God who hears. Job chapter 22 and verse 27, reading from the NIV. Amen. You will pray to him and he will hear you and you will fulfill your vows. You will pray to him and he will hear you. Not he might hear you, not he hears you some of the time, but he will hear you. Isaiah 59 and verse 1, reading from the Amplified Bible. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened at all, that it cannot save, nor is his ear dull with deafness, that it cannot hear. Someone say amen to that. Amen. You see, I don't know, in my life, I've had a few different types of friends. I mean, I've just always been that type of person who I don't necessarily mind your background. So even if you've got a completely different background to me, you know, I've worked, you know, the work environment forces you to work alongside people who don't necessarily sit next to you on a Sunday morning. Amen? And I know quite a few people who've got, you know, those gods, right? Those gods where there's an image formed out of them. And it's usually made out of brass, or it could be made out of wood. And then they usually put it at home somewhere in the lounge or in the dining room, and it sort of sits there on the mantelpiece, right? It might, I mean, you know the guys, right? I don't have to, you know, the gods with the small g, right? Not the capital G, the small g. You know those guys, right? So they usually sit on people's mantelpieces, and when you walk into the house, they're, oh, okay. All right, okay. Clearly, we're not singing from the same hymn sheet, yeah? There's a different God that you believe in. Those gods have got eyes, but they cannot see. Those gods, small g, have got hands, but they cannot reach out and save their people. Those gods, small g, have got ears, but no matter how many times they pray in front of that mantelpiece to that brass statuette, no matter how fervently, no matter how deeply they pray to that statue, that God with the small g, that God cannot hear them. There's an image, there's a statue there that depicts ears, but there are no ears. It cannot hear. It can do absolutely nothing for them. Hallelujah. But that's not the God that you serve. That's not the God that I serve. Nor his ear dull with deafness that it cannot hear. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, reading from the New King James Version. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. That's the ability that he has. Hallelujah. He's got the ability to hear. I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. He is a God who hears. Amen. For those of you taking notes, point number two, God is the God of sowing and reaping. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 8 from the NIV. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. I'm here to tell you this morning that as I stood there next to my wife, worshiping, by the way, phenomenal worship, beautiful worship. Thank you so much, worship team. There's a difference between beautiful singing and touching heaven and changing earth. Hallelujah. There's something about the ability of a worship leader, a convener, I mean, you can call them whatever you want, but the ability for them to open up heaven's gates and bring heaven down into this place for us to experience the move of God. Hallelujah. Right here where we are. And while I was standing there, while I was worshiping, I distinctly heard him say, ask for rain in the time of rain. For everyone who asks receives. And I'm here to just reiterate it, just to confirm it once again. You may have been asking, but it may have been asking during a season that wasn't the season that you're in right now. Don't allow yourself to be discouraged by the fact that you were asking, you have been asking, and now you want to stop asking. Everyone who asks receives. If you keep on asking, you will receive. Everyone who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Hallelujah. It's not just important to know that he is the God who hears my prayers, because as much as I want him to hear my prayers, I'm also praying those prayers for a reason. I'm asking in order to receive. I'm seeking in order to find. I'm knocking in expectation that he will open up the door, and that it won't just be one door, that it'll be a door to many other doors of breakthrough. Amen. But he's a God of principle. And the principle here is sowing and reaping. If I take an apple seed and I plant it in the ground, or I sow that seed, I should expect to receive a harvest. There should be a tree that sprouts up. It'll probably start as a little shoot before it actually becomes a full-grown apple tree, and I should be able to get apples from that apple tree. It's a principle of sowing and reaping. Therefore, the principle applies. You've been praying. You've been asking. You've been bringing your prayer requests. For everyone who asks, receives. It's the principle of sowing and reaping. Amen. And just by the way, hallelujah, if you've been asking God for financial breakthrough, let's just use that as the example this morning. You've been trusting God. You've been travailing and you've been asking him for financial breakthrough. He's going to give you what you've asked for. So if I plant an apple seed, I shouldn't expect to receive oranges. Amen. It's not possible, right? The seed that I've sown, I should expect to reap a harvest according to the seed that I've actually sown. So because I've sown an apple seed, I'm expecting to reap apples. Hallelujah. That's the harvest I'm looking for. So if you've been praying for promotion, if you've been praying for spiritual breakthrough, if you've been praying for a salvation of a particular family member, that's what you should expect to receive as your harvest. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, under normal circumstances, by now we would have understood that he's the God who hears me when I pray, and that being the God of sowing and reaping, when I come to him in prayer and make my request known, he who asks receives. So that's the normal, that's the way that things should go. Amen. However, we also know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We also know that there's someone out there, he's the father of lies, he's Satan. He walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, growling and snarling and snorting and sowing doubt and confusion. And one of the lies that Satan tries to get us to agree to, even as believers, is that God is so, so far away. It's just one of the things. And I've even had my son come and ask me, Dad is, where is God? Because I can't see him. So where is he? Is he in a land far, far away? You guys know those fairy tales, right? They say, once upon a time, in a land far, far away. We don't serve that type of God, amen. He's not on an island somewhere far, far away, inaccessible and out of reach and out of touch with no network signal, amen. And no matter how many times we try to call him on his mobile, he just won't be able to hear us. We just won't be able to reach him. But that's what the enemy would have you believe. He'd come to you and he'd say, hey, this God that you keep praying to, you know this God, this Jesus who you keep bringing your prayer request to? You haven't seen anything happen. You haven't gotten the promotion. As a matter of fact, Susan, who is newer in the company than you, who hasn't even been around for long, she got promoted last week. Hey, what's going on? Does this God of yours even hear you? Is he not on an island somewhere, having a vacation, having a staycation? Hallelujah. In the middle of your dilemma, in the middle of your crisis, I don't think he even hears you. I think he's far, far away. Those are the lies the enemy will come and he will whisper in your ear. And what his plan is, what his tactic is, what his intention is that at some point in time, you begin to believe the lies. Amen. And at some point in time, he's hoping that you might be able to even agree with the lies that he's whispering in your ears. Amen. And when that happens, we have to go back to God's word. Amen. Point number three, he is not the God of far, far away. He is close and he is accessible. Hallelujah, Jesus. Psalm 145 and verse 18, reading from the New Living Translation. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. Now, there's an important principle here. Of course, he's close to you and I. But the important thing here is to call on him in truth. And how do you do that? One of the easiest ways to call on God in truth is to literally pray God's word back to him. How do you make sure you don't pray amiss? You simply take God's word and you pray God's word back to him. Jeremiah 29:11, for Lord, you said, for you know the plans that you have for me. And by the way, these plans are to prosper me and not to harm me. And also you say in your word, Father, that I will have a hope and I will have a future. Therefore, I choose to make every other man a liar and you are true, Father. I take you at your word. You said, Father God, that I will live and I will not die. Hallelujah, Jesus. So even though my body, this fleshly temple that the spirit and my soul is currently dwelling in, is riddled with illness, sickness, and disease, your word says that I will live and I shall not die. I pray your word back to you, Jesus. Father God, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor your children begging for bread. Hallelujah. Lord, even though the enemy has set snares all about me, hallelujah, Jesus, you will be as a rear guard all around me. You will literally build a perimeter around me so that even though the enemy is encamped around me, hallelujah, no arrow, no fiery dart shall come near me. You are my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Don't pray your own words back to Jesus. Don't pray your own words back to God. Speak his word. Declare his word. Hallelujah, Jesus. The Lord is close to all who call on him in truth. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear not. There is nothing to fear. For I am not far, far away, but I am with you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed by what you see happening all about you. Repo rate is being increased. Eskom has lost their minds. They don't know how to run a basic energy supply company. God, what is going on? The president's got dollar bucks in his farm somewhere. We don't even know how they got there. Hey, guys, maybe I've got a different Bible. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. It doesn't matter what crazy stuff is happening all around the world. Oh, the queen died. Guys, she's not even your queen. She's the queen of England. We mourning. Why are we mourning, guys? We're here in Mzansi. Why are we mourning the death of Queen Elizabeth? Not even our queen. Hey, the whole world stops. Hey, I couldn't watch Premier League soccer, guys. I was absolutely distraught. The English Premier League comes to a screeching halt because the queen is dead. She wasn't my queen. Why can't I watch Man United play? But the world comes to an absolute stop. Why? Everybody's nervous. Everybody's terrified. Everybody's dismayed. What's going to happen now? The queen ruled, but she ruled quietly. Behind the scenes, she didn't interfere with the prime minister. What will the new king do? Will he want to have a more active role? What will happen to the dollar? What will happen to the pound? What will happen to the euro? And then the speculators start speculating. And the speculators start speculating. And then you see the move in the markets. You see the fluctuations. And then our economists here say, what will happen to the rand? Because the queen passed away. She was 90, what? 96, right? There or thereabout. Huh? She lived a long life, man. Let's carry on. Let's not live in terror. Let's not be dismayed because the queen is gone. Hallelujah. The King of Kings is here. He's alive. Hallelujah. And he lives and he rules and he reigns forevermore. Hallelujah. Oh, I missed so much football. Amen. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. You know what that means? It means difficulties won't even affect you. They'll be like water off a duck's back. Have you seen a duck in a pond? I encourage you, amen. Again, all of my life experiences, you know, it's bad. You know, I don't want to say it's bad. So before you become a parent, you've got your own life experiences. Then you become a parent, and then basically your whole storyline is something to do with your kids, right? So there's a farm in Centurion, in Irene, actually, Irene Farm, right? There's cows there. They milk the cows, but there's also ducks, right? And there's actually a very beautiful area, a beautiful part of Irene Farm, where there's actually two white swans. It's the most beautiful, relaxing thing you've ever seen in your life. Amen. But if you go there to Irene Farm and you look at the ducks, what do they do? So first of all, within interwoven in between the feathers of the duck is actually this oil, right? So that as the duck goes and dips its head under the water and comes back up, it's just like a shimmer effect. The water just cascades off. The duck doesn't have to go on the land and look for a towel or look for a face cloth or go sit in the sun to get dry. That's where the expression comes from, like water off a duck's back. You as a believer, me as a believer, God says he will strengthen us to difficulties. We'll be able to just shake it off. Hallelujah. Now, I was going to sing a pop song because, again, I've got kids. And so they play that song in the car. But this is church, amen. So I'm not going to sing it. But if you're laughing, then it means you also know the song. Hallelujah. Right? You know the song. Come on, you know the song. Amen. Hallelujah. I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. He's not the God of far, far away. Amen. He's interested in what you are going through. Hallelujah. And so because of that, you and I can ask in faith. And I'm just mindful of time. So I'm going to move on to point number four. Less jokes, Stuart. More word. Less jokes, more word. Okay. Right. Ask in faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. From the King James Version. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What have I just been doing? I've just been speaking and declaring God's word to you, right? I've told you it's a new season, and I've given you the ammunition that you need, right? So if your faith is not alive right now, amen, then I encourage you to go home after this, amen, and throughout the course of the work to mine God's word. That's a term Pastor Tracy loves to use. She says, you know, what does it mean to meditate on his word? She says, meditating on God's word is not zoning out and going, Rice kebab, chicken kebab. No, that's not meditating on God's word. Meditating is not emptying your mind and being this empty vessel, right? Meditating on God's word means you go and you mine God's word. You dig out all of those gold nuggets. You mine his word for diamonds and rubies and pearls. Hallelujah, Jesus. You wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not by Stuart's words. I mean, I know I'm a pretty funny guy, right? My wife is the only one that disagrees with me. But generally, I'm not bad, right? So far, you guys have had a good time, right? But here's the disclaimer. If you walk out of this place this morning and you start declaring Stuart's words, I'm sorry to tell you, zero effect, zero impact, zero change. So please, remember the jokes, but don't go play the jokes, okay? Because according to Romans chapter 10 and verse 7, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. It's only God's word and nothing else. Nothing added, nothing taken away. It's God's word that will allow you to ask in faith. Amen. Mark 11:24. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, and how you are once again going to be assured that you're not playing amiss, that you're not playing your own will, that you're actually playing God's will, you're again going to play God's word back to him. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust. What is faith? Faith is a belief with confident trust that you have received them, past tense, and they will be given to you. There's an important principle about the things that you're asking God for, and really, you can forget everything else, but please don't forget this. The things that you are asking God for right now in your war room, in the prayer meetings that this church has, whether it's a Zoom prayer meeting, whether it's a face-to-face prayer meeting, in your quiet time, the things that you are asking God for, he's already given you. He's already given you. You already have them. You have them. It's already been done in the spirit realm. The only missing link is you and I can't yet see it being manifested. It hasn't yet manifested itself here on the earthly realm. But it's actually already done. Amen. So that's the reason why we come and we pray and we say, Lord, Lord, that breakthrough that's already manifested on your side, on the spirit realm side, Father God, I'm trusting now and believing and in accordance with your word and in alignment with your will. Hallelujah. That's why I'm praying your word back to you, that Father, with my natural eye, I'll be able to see it here on earth as well. Hallelujah, Jesus. Another thing we need to do, point number 5, is ask with the right motives. It goes without saying, but just to cover all of the bases, amen. We have to ask when we come to God, and when we ask and we bring things before him in prayer, we have to ask with the right motive. James chapter 4 and verse 3 from the Amplified Bible. You ask God for something and you do not receive it, okay? Red light. I need to figure out what's going wrong here. Why is this person asking God for something and not receiving it? Because you ask with wrong motives. And what are those wrong motives? You ask out of selfishness or with an unrighteous agenda, so that when you get what you want, you may spend it on your hedonistic desires. You will never get anything from the throne room of God if you're asking with the wrong motive. Amen. So we need to be aware of this. We always need to do what David did. We literally have to always say, Father, Lord, I'm trusting you for this promotion. I believe it's already manifested in the spirit realm, and I believe that I will see it here on this earth. Manifested, but Father God, even as I pray for promotion, Lord God, I also ask you, Lord Jesus, to do an examination of my heart and of my motives and of my intentions, Lord. Why do I want this promotion, Lord? Do I want this promotion because I want to be the boss and I want to tell everybody what to do? Do Do I want this promotion, Lord, because I want more money for myself? I want to line my pockets and build up, store up here on earth my own little earthly kingdom? Is that the motive? Is that the intention? Is that why I'm asking for this promotion? Search me, Lord. Search my heart. And if there's any wickedness inside of me, Lord, pluck it out. Hallelujah, Jesus. When we come to God, we've got to come with the right motive. Amen. Point number six. His yes is yes. He cannot lie, and he's faithful to fulfill what he said he would do. God's yes is yes. He cannot lie. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken it, and will he not make it good and fulfill it as well? Hallelujah, Jesus. You know why the scripture is so important? I don't know if you do this, and I hope that you do, but often we have words spoken over us, right? A prophetic word spoken over you, right? And often, hopefully, you either have that prophetic word recorded somewhere in an audio format, or otherwise, while it was being spoken over you, or later that day, you actually wrote down that word, that prophetic word. You know, you'll be a leader of many nations. You'll travel the globe. You'll do amazing things. You'll go out into the mission field. We've all had some amazing prophetic words spoken over our lives. Amen. Why this passage of scripture is so important is you're able to then take that word that's been spoken over you, that prophetic word, and you say, well, Lord, you are not man that you should lie, nor are you the son of man that you should repent of that word that was spoken over my life. God, I believe that you said it, Father, and if you said it, will you not do it? Father God, I believe that that word that was spoken, it wasn't Pastor Michael speaking with his own words. That was you speaking through Pastor Michael. And because you've spoken it, God, I know that you'll make it good. You'll do it. You'll bring it to fruition. You'll fulfill your word, Father. Amen. His yes is yes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. Faithful and absolutely trustworthy is he who is calling you to himself for your salvation, and he will do it. Hallelujah. He will fulfill his call by making you holy, by guarding you, by watching over you, and by protecting you as his own. He will do it. Not he might do it. Not he's thinking about doing it. He will do it. Hallelujah, Jesus. He's faithful. His yes is yes. Amen. Point number seven. When God says yes, certain things have to happen. Hallelujah. When God says yes, and he's going to, hallelujah, you're going to pray in faith, hallelujah. You're going to pray according to God's word. You're going to pray now with the knowledge that he hears you. You're going to pray knowing that he's not some God far, far away who doesn't even have the ability to reach out and save you, who doesn't even have the ability to hear you when you call him. So you're going to pray knowing that it's already done. Hallelujah. And when you do this, certain things have to happen. Circumstances have to change. Hallelujah. You see, it's okay for me to know that the situation as it is right now doesn't reflect the reality, the truth of God's word. There's a difference between the facts as I see them and the truth of God's word. But at some point in time, and this was explained beautifully in one of Israel Houghton's, one of those live recordings that he does. So his pastor came up and he explained how his daughter came to him and said, Dad, I've got a headache. And this pastor basically says to his daughter, well, my child, believe that you're healed. And his daughter comes back a few minutes later and says, Dad, I believe that I'm healed, but I've still got a headache. Right? So that the fact of the matter is she did have a headache. She wasn't lying. She had a headache. But the truth of God's word is that he's the healing balm of Gilead. Hallelujah. And at some point in time, The circumstance has to change. At some point in time, as we keep praying, as we keep asking, as we keep travailing, as we keep speaking God's word back to him, the truth of God's word at some point in time has to superimpose itself and has to trump over and take preference and take priority over the facts of that situation. And she has to receive a healing. Amen. So one of the things that has to happen is your circumstances have to change. Doors have to open for you. And for both of these, I've used the example of Joseph because it's a story we know also very well. Hallelujah. Literally, Joseph went from being basically his dad's favorite, sporting that technicolored coat of his, to being beaten up, thrown in a pit by his own brothers, his own siblings, being sold off to a slave trader. He ends up a slave, then he ends up in prison, and he literally, those are his circumstances. He's a prisoner rotting away in a prison dungeon. But his circumstances have to change. And God opens up doors for him, doors within doors. And that same, very same Joseph, hallelujah, Jesus, ends up basically occupying the position of prime minister and ends up saving his entire family. Why? Because at some point in time, the word, the vision that he saw of him in an elevated position and how God would use him, that truth had to superimpose itself upon Joseph, the prisoner, rotting in a prison cell. Your circumstance will change. God will open up doors for you. Amen. Healing comes to you. Amen. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 8. That's the story of the faith of the centurion. And he says, Lord, I know what it is to give commands to soldiers. I tell them, do this, and they do it. I say, come here, they come here. I say, go there, they go there. Lord, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. That's all you have to do. You just have to say the word, Lord, and I believe that my servant will be healed. Healing comes to you when God says yes. When God says yes, his word confirms the yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's what we've been speaking about. You know why it's so important to pray God's word back to him? It's because his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Amen. It shows us just enough light for the next step and the next step and the next step and the next step. So it might be pitch black darkness all around you, but his word is a lamp to your feet and a light unto your path. And he shows you enough. If you keep minding his word, you're able to live by faith and not by sight. You're able to ignore the darkness around you, and you're able to take the next step of faith, and the next step of faith, and the next step of faith. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. His yes brings peace. And in your own time, you can go and have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. You gain the victory. Hallelujah. Amen. I love David in 2 Samuel 5 and verse 19. He's about to go out to war against the Philistines, and he asks God two questions. Lord, should we go out to them? Should we march out against them? Number one, so should we go or should we stay? Number two, Lord, will you give us the victory? He asks, he says, Lord, I'm about to go out into battle, but I'm not going to make a move until you answer these two questions. Should we march out against them, and will you give us the victory? And God says, he answers, he says, yes. He says, yes. Yes, my boy, go. March out to them. Yes, I will give you the victory. I'll deliver them into your hands. Hallelujah. When God says yes, you gain the victory. And last but not least, when God says yes, what was dead comes to life. Hallelujah. We all know the story of Lazarus. Hallelujah. As Jesus stood in front of his tomb, and he shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. What was dead has to come alive once again. Amen. Can we all stand to our feet this morning? Amen. I hope that you are as excited for yourself as I am for you. This is a new season. Amen. God's going to show up and he's going to show off. And he's going to use your life, hallelujah, to show off to the people around you. People are going to look at you and they're going to look at your life. They're going to look at the prosperity in your life and they're going to become jealous. Hallelujah. And that's okay. Amen. They should follow Jesus too. Hallelujah. They're going to come to you and they're going to ask you, what is it about you? Why do you not seem to be impacted like the rest of us? Why? What's the smile on your face? Why does it look like you're glowing from the inside out? And God will create the opportunity for you to witness to them and tell them about this Jesus and tell them about how he's able to, what he's done for you, what he's doing for you, and what he's able to do for them as well. It's a time of God's yes, amen. It's an exciting time to be alive. It's an exciting time to be a follower and a believer of Jesus Christ, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I'm just so excited. I'm so privileged that I could be found here at Go Christian Church in Pretoria East. I'll be able to look back and I'll be able to say, hey guys, I was there. I was there, hallelujah. I was there when God spoke and God said, it's a new season, guys. It's a season for me to show up. It's a season where whatever you ask in my name, in accordance and alignment with my will, if you believe it by faith, it will be done. You'll see the manifestation on this natural earthly plane. I was there that morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. And so, Father, we thank you, Father. We seal your word, Father. That so that throughout the course of this week, Father God, it won't be stolen away from your people. Hallelujah, Jesus. But we thank you, Father God, that your word this morning has fallen on suitable ground, on favorable ground. It will germinate, Father. It will take root. Hallelujah, Jesus. And these, your people, will reap the rich fruits, the rich rewards, Father, of this word spoken in due season. And so, Heavenly Father, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise that you deserve this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, for you first loved us, Father. And even as we leave this place, Father, or before we do that, Father, we just want to take an opportunity. I just like to take the opportunity. If there's anyone here this morning and you've heard this message, you've heard this exciting word, you're keen, you're eager, you want to be a part of this move, this new season that's taking place in this local assembly, but you say, Stuart, I hear you, but unfortunately, this Jesus that you're speaking about, this God who answers prayer, I don't actually have a relationship with him yet. I don't actually know him as my Lord and personal Savior as yet, but I'd like to get to know him. Or you might have known him in the past, but life happened and you were led astray. But you want to come back home this morning. If that's you, I'm just going to give you an opportunity. All you have to do is lift your hand wherever you are. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. No one's looking around. So just lift up your hand wherever you are. If you'd like to recommit your life to Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Anyone. If there's no one this morning, then I'm just going to pray that even as we leave this place, that Father, you would cover us, you would protect us, you would go before us, prepare the way for us, Father God. Cover us with the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father God, we just enjoy knowing that it's a new season and it's a brand new day. And so we give you the glory and the honor that you deserve. And everybody said, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen.